like, you know, all of the monastery used to be taken care of by, like, the Shih Tzu and friends. Like, they had, like, Lhasa Apsos.
Yeah.
That's straight up, like, Shih Tzus. Like, that's what they all look like. Yeah, like, just roaming the premises.
Let's start. Welcome to Mommy Issues. Mm-hmm. I'm Jasmine. I'm joined by Cindy and Chloe.
Hi.
And we are going to discuss the parenting book, Bringing Up Bebe, today, which is by Pamela Druckerman. Is her name Pamela Druckerman? And
I didn't even look at her name, honestly. I deep dived the last girl and I did not pay attention to this broad at all.
Yeah. So this is a parenting book that compares French and American parenting and talks about the superiority of French parenting. Chloe and I both read this. I read this when I had just had my baby. I don't know. Did you read it before Jack, Chloe?
I read it when I was pregnant with him, when I was nannying circa 2022.
I haven't read it because I spent all of my pregnancy reading, preparing for a natural birth.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I did that too.
Yeah, and then I got induced at the most ghetto hospital.
And then it didn't happen at all.
So yeah. I didn't like read past like preparing your vagina.
Me either. I was like, I don't know why I didn't. I spent so much time like on birth, and then the birth was
I'm never gonna read it again. Like it's over. Like I figured it out.
It happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I did not prepare for natural birth, and I, with my second at least, I had one accidentally, so.
Really?
Yeah, maybe the key is to not prepare for one, and then you'll get one.
I hear the second, a lot of times you just, like, shoot it out real quick.
It was so fast, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
What happened to my mom. My brother took, like, I think she said she was in the hospital for, like, 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was there.
Basically, yes. But, yeah, this book is, for some reason, it's part of the sort of, like, parenting canon nowadays. Like, it gets recommended a lot. And Chloe and I think we both, like, we didn't like it. We both gave it 2 stars on Goodreads. We didn't fuck with it. On reread, I like it a little better now, I think, because the baby stuff just felt so whack to me. But the toddlers, like, as the kid got older, some of the stuff I was like, okay, I see the value.
Yeah, I think I was like just fat and pregnant when I was reading it the first time, and I was like, this is pissing me off. Which this time I'm also just like hormonal, and it was still pissing me off a little bit.
Yeah,
but it was like different things were pissing me off.
The sleep was pissing me off because
that's the one in, like, my notes. I was like, I'm just not even gonna read this, or I'm gonna get annoyed.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think this book, what came out around the time, it was published in 2012, which is when there was like a huge fad for French stuff. Like, there was that book, French Women Don't Get Fat, about how French people were better at dieting and eating.
Is that the same year that the Wii by Yoplait yogurts came out?
I don't know.
Is it? I bet it is.
You're talking about?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They're delicious.
They are.
So good.
They seem
the key lime. They seem like not enough. Like,
they're exactly.
That's exactly how it's supposed to be, though. It's decadent.
That's what makes it French, because right. I like how everyone's idea of being French is like, oh, I eat like I have eating disorder.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's very sweet. That whole book is.
But when
like
you,
half of it.
But when you eat, you like, you're just like, you're just so sexy, and you're like tasting it in every corner of your mouth, and just like,
it's Venusian.
But you know. Looking at the points from this book, let's start with pregnancy and labor. Like, the first Americans are fat pigs.
Yeah. So this book it's read sort of as a parenting manual, but it's not really that. It's just this woman, Pamela Druckerman's reflections on her time as an American giving birth and raising a child in Paris and the sort of differences she observes. So she starts with her own pregnancy and, you know, goes through the kind of differences in mentality. And one thing she talks about is how American women are very neurotic during pregnancy, and the French are very calm. They don't worry. They try to enjoy the pregnancy. Whereas, you know, Americans are always worrying about things go wrong, what you're supposed to eat. You know, you can't eat oysters. You can't eat blah, 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 food safety. rate of miscarriage, things like that. They're worriers. And this part, I think you can really sort of see the beginning of something we talked about, Sydney, which is like the whole science-based parenting thing in Americans. Like, this is too early for that, but she's like, the American neuroticism is interesting because it's very like stats-based. It's very, like looking up studies of like outcomes and all these things. And I feel like if anything, ever since, you know, whenever this was written, 2012, the neuroticism has like amped up, right?
Are they really not? My thing is, I'm reading this and it's like, you know, an American woman who probably has this like idealized idea of a French woman. And I really want to know if they're really that, are they really that chill over there? I really want
to
know.
Right. Well, I feel like French women, they're known to be like crazy, but in a chic way, right? Like, yeah. I feel like that's the, so I'm sure they are. They have their own neuroses. You know what I think part of it is I think there is a certain amount of like shame around being too public about your problems.
Yeah.
Is the sense of it. Like, they don't whine. They don't like complain.
It's not like a bonding ritual.
Right.
As much.
Right. Exactly.
I think that is a European disposition in general, yeah. Because I was thinking about how when I was pregnant, so for context, my daughter was born with like a congenital heart defect and she had to have surgery when she was like a month old for it. When I was pregnant, all of my maternal fetal medicine doctors, they had to check me every 2 weeks because like the heart condition gets worse in the womb, etc. They were all Russian.
Mm.
And like the way they would describe like a heart defect was never like in like these like lethal terms the way like, you know, like the Mayo Clinic would do it. They'd just be like, the valve is a little thick, it's okay,
yeah,
you just, we check you every 2 weeks, it's, yeah, okay. Like, yeah. This is like every 2 weeks, it's fine,
right?
Who cares?
Yeah.
And like, and they had the, it, because they were so relaxing and so calming, you know, right. I thank Eastern Europeans for everything they've done for me during my pregnancy.
God, I'm so glad Eddie's Eastern European background, because I feel like he's the same. He's like, it's fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, they're like stoic. I feel like it's just stoicism, right? There's just,
yeah,
like,
yeah, they see, yeah, they would see something on the screen and be like,
yeah,
like, and they could, obviously they could be looking at miscarriage and they wouldn't even freak out, which would be really bad in another way.
Right.
I also think that probably that has something to do with like how maybe French hospitals don't have like giant posters telling you like, this is unsafe. This is unsafe. Yeah. So like in America, we have like, what do we have? We have like 3 posters that sort of explain breastfeeding, but not really.
Yeah.
In like every hospital's like lobby, waiting room, whatever. And then the other posters are like, how XYZ thing could like kill you during your pregnancy. Don't eat, yeah, belly meat. Don't eat whatever.
Yeah. Well, and also just on a, you know, practical level, France is smaller. Their food safe, like their food production can be more contained within their country, right? Like they seem to have a lot of like local stuff. Like they have they have port access. So I feel like they're like, area of food safety worries is smaller and thus more controllable versus the US, where like so big and production is just, you know, it varies from state to state. You import stuff. Like right now there's an egg shortage, right? Because of bird flu. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just like America's so big that a lot of this kind of like really chill attitude towards like oysters is not quite feasible.
I do feel like there's almost like the like crunchy American side. I feel like there's almost like an attempt to return or to like have the same vibe almost, because I see the like crunchy TikTok moms that are like, I'm not even getting an ultrasound, like I don't care, I eat whatever I want to eat, raw eggs, I eat,
yeah,
my dog's ass, whatever.
I feel like my problem with that is that you can't like force your way into a French lifestyle.
Yeah.
You can't just like, you know, lick your dog's ass like you're in.
No. And
the dogs
so
are different.
It's
here.
So fake. It would come off. Everyone could read it off of you that you're trying too hard.
Yeah, and you can't just like, you know, eat the raw beef and like be like, it's okay.
Actually, I did that while I was pregnant. Maybe that's why.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I also was kind of chill about food.
I had sushi. I had sushi all the time. Actually, in fact, when they gave me gestational diabetes diagnosis, I was even not. I had a lot of sashimi. Like, I was eating that constantly because I was no race, I guess.
Well, my thing was, like, I've never gotten food poisoning. I, like, never react to food. So why would it happen now?
Yeah.
I think the only thing I ever avoided was, like, bagged lettuce.
I avoided oysters and, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't even, anything, I mean, I never really get to eat them anyway.
Because a gardening influencer I follow got Vibrio vulnificus, like the insane sort of like oyster parasite. And I was like, damn.
Oh my God.
That sounds nuts. But yeah, I don't know. My first pregnancy, I was very chill about caffeine. And then she came out kind of crazy. And I was like,
Same with Jack. I'm like really not doing caffeine.
Is that
time.
Why? Yeah. Is that actually, I had coffee so often.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant.
I was like, I was going to Starbucks. And so the second one, I think I was like, I'm going to limit the caffeine and have a little bit of beer. And then she came out a lot chiller. So I think.
Well, with Jack, I didn't know I was pregnant because we weren't trying with him. And I had just gotten an espresso machine for Christmas. So I was like slamming espresso shots when he was like implanting. And I also was on Adderall. And then this baby, I had just started taking ashwagandha, and I had quit caffeine for a while. And I'm like, I already just have the strongest feeling that it's a completely 9-day, like, Jack is off the walls, and I feel like it's going to be the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Lucy has never, she's never given me a single day of peace. I love her so much, but holy shit, she's just as ADHD as I am. And I had, double espresso shots in the morning, and because I had so much fucking issues with, like, you know, they were like, you can't have sugar because you have gestational diabetes. And they, like, told me when I was, like, 14 weeks. So I was like, what am I going to do to wake up besides coffee? So I had coffee constantly. Like, I just didn't stop. And she's, I remember when she came out of her surgery, she was, like, really, really awake. And was just like, this is me at my full potential at like 1 month old. I'm like kicking everything away from everybody. And I'm like, she was like kicking off all the machines. And I was like, okay. Baby built on
Cuban coffee. Are the French chill about caffeine? Do they mention that? No, I don't remember.
They're extremely chill. They have that's all they do is drink coffee, smoke cigarettes, and cheat on each other.
But you guys should do, for the second one, you guys should do a test, and
I'm gonna experiment. I'm not gonna drink coffee. I'm gonna be such a bitch, but I'm gonna not drink coffee
because I feel like it worked. That's my pregnancy book tip.
I've probably had like 5 over the past month, which is like not. I mean, I was having caffeine with Jack daily, like definitely having the most I could have daily.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I truly think a little bit of beer. I think. You know, slowed her down.
I did have, I think, champagne once or twice. And then I was a nanny when I was pregnant with Jack, and the mom was a doctor, and she was always like, you want some wine? And like, she did not give a shit if I was pregnant. She was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you're French.
Yeah, very French. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when I was 38 weeks, no, I was 37 weeks. I delivered at 38. I went to go get dinner with some friends from Twitter. And now formerly known as Twitter. And one of them's like vaping in front of me. And the other one's like drinking wine. And she's like, you're 37 weeks. Like, you're done. Just drink the wine. It doesn't matter at this point. And I still couldn't bring myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt so much guilt. I'm going to become an alcoholic the next one. She'll bring it. She's going to bring it out of me. She'll be so chill.
Yeah.
Probably from the fetal alcohol syndrome.
Right.
Well, I think it's funny. It's that they're so chill about like eating whatever, screw the like data on caffeine, but then they go into birth and they're like, they do like all the scheduled induction, C-section, epidural.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, there's probably less of a risk of like, you know, the mom's mortality and stuff in France. I'm sure their doctors are just better and like less stressed out than ours.
Well, something interesting is I looked up detailed stats about, because they do have better mortality rates for women giving birth in France.
Mm-hmm.
But someone said online that part of that is because in America, they do riskier, like, early, like, NICU babies, like preemies. Like, American hospitals actually have a more complex level of, like, healthcare for these kind of like really, really premature babies. Micro.
What do they do in France? Give them a cigarette?
I think they just, they're like,
they abort them.
Well, this is not chic.
I think they're just like, this is not viable. Like their date for what's viable is later.
Oh, okay. So they're like, sorry.
Yeah, well,
that would be so stressful though. I would be so pissed off if I was like in France and giving birth at 25 weeks and they're like, eh.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
we must send you to America.
You'd be stressed anywhere if you were giving birth at 25.
Yeah, true.
Oh, and you can't. And you have like a, you know, you give birth for like a baby's like IUGR or whatever, yeah. And then it's like you have to fly to America to like.
So I think that like this is one of those things where I feel like they like a lot of the discussion gets distorted by what you see and the statistics. Don't necessarily represent what you actually get because American healthcare, like, there are problems with like many elements of its accessibility, but they do have like really complex shit that they're willing to do in the US.
Yeah.
And like, if you're willing to pay like big money, I think you can get like crazy shit done. So, whereas in France, it's more like uniform, standard, good care.
Yeah.
But yeah, so another thing that she mentions in this book is that Americans have this culture of individualizing their birth plans, whereas everyone in France kind of gives birth the same way. They get an epidural, they give birth to the hospital. There's not, you know, this like granola culture of home births, natural births. They're not interested in that.
That was a part that like irritated me the first time I read it when I was pregnant because I was like, this is so... They're just so manipulated and they just like can't think for themselves. And now I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Well, I was very much like, I guess I vibed with this because I was like, that's me. Like, I'm pretty, I guess I would say I'm on the crunchy side, but I was like, give me the epidural, give me the drugs. I like drugs. So I vibed with that. And then I ended up not having an epidural for my second. And so I have seen both sides and maybe we can get into this another time when we discuss birth in more detail, but I do think there are definitely like, I think the fact that everything gets so polarized in these kind of like weird contests and culture wars in the US is a little fake. Like I do think like,
yeah,
you know, like you, like, I don't know. There were just a lot of women in these mom groups that I see who have these very specific plans in mind, and then it just goes out the window because you just
control. Mine fully went out the window. Just did it, and I was like, okay,
yeah. And when they like ruptured my membranes and they like broke it, broke my waters, and there was no more plan. There was
Jack did it himself.
They did it without telling me, actually.
Yeah,
which is sick. Like the like no thing. Right. Like actually,
it hurts really bad after they. Do it,
well,
right?
They did it. Well, I was on an epidural, so I had a planned induction because they had to get her out to like fix her heart, and they were like, and they were like, you're gonna have preeclampsia because your blood pressure is a little high. Yeah. It wasn't really that high. Whenever I went to the doctor, I was nervous as fuck because they kept telling me my baby was gonna die.
Yeah.
So when they broke my waters, I shook in such a retarded way.
Oh my god.
And I had to call them like, and I'm like, why am I shaking? And they're like,
oh my god.
And they were like, gosh.
We busted you up.
My birth story is so silly.
Yeah.
I had like
mine is like a comic.
Yeah, mine. I had a trans nurse. No, my nurse was trans. I don't think you understand. Like, she was. She was at
other which direction.
Male to MTF, and she was like, she came to their room and looked at my husband, goes, girl, you ain't trying to run away from me, are you?
Oh my god.
and that colored the whole everything about it.
My like student doctor or nurse practitioner or whatever the second time was a gay guy, and it was like the stereotypes were like, he was very much like affirming the stereotypes because he like couldn't find my vagina to do a cervical.
Oh my god.
He kept jabbing me in the clit.
Oh my god. Yeah, he doesn't know about that.
And I was like, you know, that's the thing that, you know, trouble finding, like, and I didn't even know what to say to him because I was like, at that point I was like about to give birth. He's a very nice man. I don't, you know.
No, I mean, like, how? Oh god, I had like the lead OB on the floor at that time. Like, she was like, hey, I have these two students here, so I'm just gonna show them how to like you know, increase your Pitocin. And she could not increase it. Uh-huh. And then she just walked out of the room in silence. And I didn't know that I could, I didn't know it's like not standard practice anymore to like, just, they were like increasing my Pitocin every 15 minutes. Cause they were trying to get me out. Cause I gave birth at like the Hasidic Jewish hospital where they're like, everyone's on like their 13th kid.
Mm-hmm.
So they like pump you out really quick. So it was really scary. Speaking of that.
Are Hasids allowed to go to the hospital?
Yes, this is a Hasid hospital. And there was a woman on my floor on her 13th child.
Wow.
And they were like all the nurses were talking about like, this is her 13th kid. Oh, I can't believe.
But I thought that they can't like touch technology and that they have to like go through tunnels.
The tunnels. That's kind of near me. I live in the Orthodox, like if my neighborhood's like a quarter Italian, a quarter like Chinese via Hong Kong. And the other whatever is everyone's like Hasid, and it's just like I have to see like Abrahamic like stereotypes on my like front lawn every day.
Yeah,
and I just oh gosh, that's one thing that could be an interesting episode. Hasid parenting is interesting because they don't baby wear. Yeah, they will never baby wear. I find that interesting.
Like they're not allowed to, or you just see that they don't.
They never do. They would never. Oh, well, I mean, Lucy hated baby wearing, but like, yeah, but like, they won't wear their babies in like any type of carrier in any capacity.
Interesting.
I
wish we could interview a Hasid.
Yeah, they won't speak to me. So maybe one day. Going down the Bringing Up Bebe book. So, I like how there's an entire chapter on like, oh, we don't actually do sleep training. It's like, and I looked at the description of Le Pause, and I'm like, that's literally sleep training, dumbass, like this.
Le Pause.
One where I'm like, I wouldn't talk to actual French women because she makes it sound so, like, simple.
Yeah. This is where I didn't even finish the book the first time because I read this part and I was like, cap, like, they are lying to you, girl. Like, that's another thing. It's like, French women lie. In a very chic way. Like, French ladies will lie about, they'll be like, this is just my, like, natural skin, like, my natural scent. Or, like, they love, like, lying to make things seem effortless, right? Like, they love turning the artifice into something natural. And it's nice. Like, I love that for them. But they're clearly lying here. Like, every single French woman she interviews is like, oh, yes, they did their nights. Yes, they very early. And they're lying.
Yeah, so you have to be, like, questioning everything. Like, I feel like, I know, I mean, everyone knows, like, some babies are just chill and, like, good sleepers. Like, my mom took notes of me and my brother, had, like, one of those calendars, and my brother slept through the night at 7 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and he was just, like, a sleepy, chill little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I did pretty early, too, but I know she had to sleep train me.
Yeah.
But like, the whole, like, oh, just pause and see if they can, like, settle their stuff. Like, there was no pausing with Jack. It was, like, screaming, bloody murder immediately. Like, there was no...
Right. The pause is, I think, maybe, like, at this stage, like, with my eldest, who's almost 4. Sure. Like, that's a good idea. But, like, as a baby, babies don't know the pause. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, they know le fear. That's all they know. Like, they don't...
The scream,
like, like confusion.
I mean, I think there is value in, like, you calming and regulating yourself and not, like, freaking out because the baby might sense anxious energy while you're taking
them.
I think that kind of lip pause works. And maybe it works on that level, like, it's calming the mothers down. Because I think that, you know, that's valuable. But when I had a baby, I was just so, like, annoyed reading. Like, this is just the fakest shit I've ever heard. It's not even, like, I really disagree with any, like, you know, deeply. But her tone is so annoying. Like, the way she
talks
about this.
It's actually so simple.
I wondered what was the secret French sauce to these miracles. What is it that the French do? And it's like this just, like, very, like, you know, naive Sex in the City kind of female writer.
Yeah.
And she never actually figures anything out. So, like, she never gives you a concrete answer. It's sort of just this vague thing that, like, okay, like, the French really are great, you know?
Well, I was looking up, you know, people's opinions on it that were actually French on like Reddit, and people were like, yeah, they hit their kids.
Yeah.
They were like, they're so well behaved because they hit them. So I was like, that's
I
trash.
was gonna say, okay, I love on that same chapter they're like, we French, we don't really breastfeed. I'm like, you guys will go topless to the beach and like not shave your armpits and not wear deodorant, but you won't breastfeed.
Because it's
And
gonna
you
mess up
know,
your
and like
tits.
French women all have like C cups. It's just enough breast for the baby to latch onto without being overwhelmed by big naturals that fucking American hormone milk has given us. So like what's the problem?
Well,
They gotta keep it right and tight.
they discuss that in the book.
I didn't breastfeed, and even I think other moms. I'm like, fuck you. Like, why didn't you hear it?
Well, the book, they're like, they want to save their breasts for the dad.
Fucking, yeah.
Honestly, Macron wrote this book. This is not written by this woman. This was like ghost written by like the president of France who wanted to fuck his teacher.
They have to have like neuroses and like complexes from this. Like, I know it obviously works for them, but like, there's no way that you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like, honey, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm fucking your father.
Yeah, the part where it's like you talk to your baby and explain that you're getting a divorce.
Yes, I loved that part. I was dying.
Wait, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
So babies can actually understand you when you talk to them. So even a baby as old as 3 months, if you're getting a divorce, you can
You
explain,
gotta tell them.
you have to tell them that you're getting a divorce.
They will vibe check you
Yeah, they will.
otherwise.
But the breastfeeding thing, I do think there is something. You know, I breastfed in a very granola way, like up till, you know, my toddler was 3 years old or whatever. I do feel a little contrarian about this, and I do think it's admirable how they're just like, we're not doing
Yeah, I do. I do feel the same way because I feel like the crunchier American way is like does entail a lot more suffering and
it.
like a
Well,
lot
it does,
more
because
sacrifice.
American breastfeeding is also tied up with pumping.
Yes, exactly.
Pump, La Pump. I don't think La Pump is in France.
Exactly. I think pumping is the worst. So that is my like third
I
position
did not pump.
on the
I hated pumping.
Pumping sucks. Pumping sucks. It
Pumping sucks
hurts.
ass.
And the baby is better at like feeding than the pump is at getting the milk out. And it takes so much time and it
It
makes
takes
you
so much time. I tried for like a week and I was like, for what, dude? So like someone else can feed the baby every now and then. I was like, I don't even
Wow,
care.
I
okay, so I my like you know how like every mom in my Facebook group calls it like my breastfeeding journey? And
Yes,
it'll be like
they
the
get
last
the milk. They get the milk rings. That's like
Oh,
too.
it's disgusting.
Like,
This
what
milk
is that?
is either for your baby or for like your husband when you're fucking. Like that's
It's
it.
like
Like it's not
it's like a gem made out of like condensed breast milk.
Wait, did you see the thing on Twitter to it was like yesterday where it was like people are turning their embryos into rings that they don't use?
No, that's so dark.
Yeah,
No,
no,
they
it
should get.
was it's
I
literally a
mean,
company that
sorry,
if you like don't
trad
use your
cat
embryos.
moment. They need
No.
burials. Just bury them. Give them a little
Yeah.
burial. Like,
Oh
just
my
it is what it
God.
is. You know what you did.
It is.
But then you get your breastfeeding ring too, and you just keep forgetting which one's your baby and which one's just
No.
milk.
No.
Man.
Oh, this one's my. These are the 13 that I didn't want because they all have Down syndrome, and then the other like.
No.
That's
Well, this
so.
is why I do admire the French because they're like, fuck that shit. Like, that's like that. Like, breastfeeding is inherently kind of gross. You know,
Yeah.
like, as someone who breastfed, there is something kind of like disgusting, like mammalian and like primitive
Yeah,
it. And
I admire their lack of bullshit.
yes, and they
Okay, I think
Americans are so
my daughter might be French. She was so against breastfeeding. I will never understand this. Everyone looked at me like I was retarded. And like I did you hire a lactation consultant? I'm like, I
Isn't she an
swear.
Aquarius?
Yeah, so she's the same birthday as David Lynch.
She's an alien.
She's literally
She's
like
above this world.
she literally at some point, like I struggled so hard to get her to latch, and like at 6 months, she would kind of do it for comfort, but not for like I never had milk production like that was great at that point because like everything. And then at some point at 6 months, she just looked at it and was like, "This is so stupid. Why would I do
That's what
this?"
my brother did, my mom
And
says. He was
my
like,
yeah,
no.
and she like I will try.
Pass.
I was like I tried to get her. I like your day like I was like, "Would you breastfeed now?" And she looked at me and she was like, she hit my tits. Like she was like, "Ah!
Yeah.
Get it out of
Get
here.
out of here. That's so stupid of you, mom."
Jack is the complete opposite. If he sees my boobs, he says my boobies and like tries to cuddle them.
Okay, my favorite thing about Jack is that he like adorns your breasts like a fucking medieval knight.
He went through a phase where he would just like bring a hair tie and like decorate my nipples with hair ties or like foam cords.
I wish that was me.
They're like turning me into an altar.
Yeah. But breastfeeding, like, I think the problem with lactation consultants and pro-breastfeeding people in the U.S. is they're way too positive about it. And it does suck. And it actually does entail a lot of sacrifice. And if it actually is that difficult, there is logic in just being like, we're not going to, you know.
It is so hard at first. I'm glad I, like, kept with it because it becomes so easy and, like, I was like, dang, people like have to parent without being like, here's the boob, relax.
Right. And you have to have all these like fake boob apparati to like,
like making a bottle in public is annoying.
Yeah.
Especially if your baby would only take like hot milk. Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is formula. So this is like the weirdest like subject to talk about. It's not weird, but it's, this is like the, I hate other formula moms. Formula moms are retarded.
Yeah.
There's no denial that like formula can be like, it can be made really poorly. So like I gave my daughter like the organic Kendamil from Europe, bar none. It's like grass fed, dairy, whatever. Like you don't really have that many options for formula. Straight up, people will be like, the best formula is whatever you give your baby. Like, I'm like, that's like straight up not true.
Right.
Like, if you're going to actually spend money on it, you might as well do your research. Like, I understand it's like sort of out of price, but it's out of like some people's price points, but it's really not. It's like the exact same price for like the one that has all the soy and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then formula moms will call lactation consultants like lactivists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is just so unbelievable. Like, you guys are so petty.
They are really dumb, though.
Like, they are, yeah.
Sorry, the lactation consultants.
Lactation consultants are, yeah. I think a lot of them are really bad at their job because they could not figure out my tits. Like, I understand. Like, I'm beyond Big Naturals.
Sense, because it's like, who is the kind of person who'd be so passionate about other women breastfeeding that would be a lactation consultant?
No, I think there should be male lactation consultants. I know a guy could figure it out. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and also another thing is I don't know how I would have breastfed if I were working and the French mothers go back to work. That was another big part of the book, is they, being a stay-at-home mom is frowned upon. It is discouraged. They all go back to work pretty soon. But I swear, like in European countries like France and Switzerland, that they have, and this is just my theory, I'm sure I'll get fact-checked on this, but I swear they have government-subsidized girl jobs. Like,
because
they are not, like, they are all, like, graphic designers, part-time designers who just like get up, you know, do
the put on a cute outfit.
Yeah, beautiful like pussy bow blouse.
Yeah.
Go to work, like type a little, do a little graphic design. Graphic design is their passion. And then they just like, you know, clock out at 1 and go to the farmer's market to shop for their beautiful dinner that they're going to make. And those are like, I swear that the government creates these jobs for women. Like, it's just like a category of like part-time woman jobs, because there's so many of them like have like part-time work, and that's a category that I feel like is really vanishing in the United States. Maybe I just like am not tapped into the labor market or something, but it seems like in the U.S. like jobs like want you for like every
ounce.
Yeah,
they want to nurse you too.
You know people talk about like women having fake email jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had an email job that was ever, I was everything when I was an email job.
Yeah,
at every point. So right. Like I believe that in other countries the email job is actually really fake.
Right. Well, but I think that the difference is the U.S. like, for example, this was just being discussed, is the government was like laying off all those work from home employees related to DEI, right? So a lot of women were like, oh, now I need childcare. And then people were like, oh, what was your child doing before when you're supposedly working at home? And how was your job if you were taking care of your child? Whatever. There was just like all this discourse. But I think there's like those email jobs where it's like you just like fake, in the sense that like you just like can be in sweatpants and like send a lot of emails and like you're just sending emails all day. And then the Europe version is not like a fake email job. It's like a fake, like, just like a beautiful magazine job. Like romantic comedy lady job, which I think is cool. Like, I think the government should make girl jobs, not...
I think that is cute. Like, you just, the government watched a few rom-coms and was like, this is clearly what they want.
Yeah.
To make us people happy.
And in general, I think that, like, because people were talking about work from home and whether or not it diminishes productivity. I feel like, you know, maybe less work from home, full-time jobs, and more just part-time jobs. Like,
yeah,
I think that part-time work should happen more in the U.S.
I was just saying that earlier this week because I haven't been working, and it was, I think I was thinking about it because of the book, but I was telling one of my friends, like, I would love to, like, drop Jack off at, like, a little preschool moment that's, like, well run, and he gets to play with his friends from, like, 9 to 1, and I go, like, put on an outfit and then, like, make $100 doing something simple,
right,
working for myself, doing whatever. But
yeah,
everything's just, like, out of whack here. Like, I would not make enough for it to be worth sitting. Right. It would be like everything you do here, if you do anything part-time, it's like, okay, well, you're just doing it to have the job.
Right.
Like, you break even, basically.
Yeah. The one part-time job that I know of is, you know, Eileen Fisher? They do, like, linen pants and stuff for, like, dignified old ladies.
Yeah, it's like Ann Taylor Loft.
Yeah, yeah. But, like nicer and more sort of, like, down and a smaller thing. They hire, like, older ladies, and it's all part-time, and I don't think it pays that much. I'm sure it doesn't have healthcare, like, benefits or anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can get that from your husband or whatever. But they get, like, nice employee discounts, really nice employee discounts. And, like, they love their job because they love Eileen Fisher. Just, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I should be able to work at Saks Fifth Avenue, like, 2 days a week, not actually make any commission, and still make enough to, like, spoil my bebe with a little sweater.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a nice French idea. Government-subsidized girl jobs.
Speaking of that, I'm touring, I was going to. Let's see if I'm, like, feeling... I still have neurovirus. I'm feeling like shit, but I was going to tour, like, a Catholic school tomorrow. They're doing, like, the open house this weekend for, like, all the Catholic schools in, like, Brooklyn. And then the next week, I'm going to tour a Waldorf school just to see... I'm just, like... Because I really thought about it for myself, and I was, like, am I really going to homeschool? Fuck my God. Yeah. Like, no. Like, I can't do this. Like...
Yeah,
and
I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I really got to figure out if I'm going to really do that.
Dude, I have too much executive dysfunction. I'm pretty sure that's true. I'm going to be a happier wife if I just spend all that time losing weight away from my child instead of trying to teach her, like, the alphabet. But
that's very French of you. That's, like, what they say. It's like, you know, women, that's why there needs to be universal daycare, so women can lose the weight and, like, have time to themselves.
Fuck, you know what? That's so true. And I agree with that now.
The book talks about this, but French daycare, they have nationalized daycare, you know, because everything is sort of subsidized by the state. They have a great welfare system in France. So the daycares are partially paid for by the state, and then the rest of the cost, sweetie, is on a sliding scale. Hi.
Hi.
You want to sit here?
I need tea.
Okay.
Hi.
What do you think of the French daycare system, Mira?
Ooh la la.
And they also
have nanopic pink.
I lost my train of thought. They also have state subsidized nannies.
No. I did know the French use nannies.
They have a great nanny culture.
Oh yeah, I read a book about I think I did read a book about that.
Because they have, like, a long history of, like, nanny sciences.
Yeah, you can get, like, a real... There's, like, it's, like, a job path. It's a girl job path there.
Yes, yes.
To be a nanny. It's, like, they have, like, a whole system for
it. What's an au pair?
That's where you're from another country.
Okay, yeah. But it's always a hot girl, right?
Yeah. It's, like, a younger girl.
And yeah, she's always pretty. I've noticed, like...
Yeah, they have to be hot or they'll kill you.
Yeah. Or, you know, they still might kill you. If not, like that, like somewhere at some point nearby and near DC or something. Did you guys see that news article about a nanny and the husband like having an affair and killing the mom.
Nightmare.
That's horrible.
Every time I would, okay, every time, this is psychotic. Every time I would like interview for a nanny position, I would be like, if they hire me, I would be like, shouldn't you be worried because I'm hot? Like, shouldn't you not want to hire me? Like, when the mom would hire me, you'd be like, well, aren't you a little worried? So you think I'm not hot?
Do you ever feel like they were?
No, I don't think so. One of my friends is also a nanny, and I think she had a thing where, like, the dad wanted to bang her, though.
Bye, sweetie.
Okay, kiss.
Jack is big on that, too, right now. You have to give him a kiss.
I think the one thing I think I do that's, like, French from this book is I straight up give her whatever the hell I'm eating. I don't unseason it.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever prevented my daughter from having salt.
Oh, yeah, I was fully... I do like the whole like being less neurotic vibe because I am not that neurotic about certain things. Like the like baby led wing, I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna feed him stuff. Like I'll just watch him. Like it didn't really stress me out at all. And people would be like, oh my god, don't you worry? And I was like, no, I'm not worried.
Bro, my mom was so disgusted that I would give her salted food. Like seasoned food. This was really freaked her out. She's like, she's only gonna want food that have like a lot of flavors when she's older. I'm like,
okay.
And when is, yeah, okay. Like, so when's she gonna have bland food? So.
Why is that bad?
I know. And she was like, no, I've been reading studies that they say that seasoning is bad for babies' development.
I did read stuff about like kids just overdosing on salt and dying, but I think you have to like really go hard.
That seems like you have to intentionally like.
You have to literally give them like only McDonald's all day, every day.
Yeah.
And the average home cook actually really doesn't salt their food very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Overall, it seems like the impression I got reading this book is that it's like there's a lot of support, a lot of state support for middle class people in France.
Yeah.
Whereas most of the support in the United States is for the poorest. Like it's like truly like welfare subsidized like existences,
and then even then it's like shitty quality.
Yes
Oh, absolutely. Like
that's like exactly, and that's kind of like what I was thinking while I was reading all this stuff about school, because they talk about the creche and you know how wonderful the daycare is, and the daycares have you know delicious food, and it's like
yeah,
in the States, if that were implemented, it would be like Cheetos and Minion water. Like I don't know, like it would
Minion water.
You know the TikToks where like they feed their autistic son Minion water?
No.
Oh my god, I need to look this up.
Bobby needs his Minion water today, or else he'll chimp out. You know.
Oh my god.
Oh, did you see that kid with autism that like knocked out all the TV screens at Costco, and he was going King Kong mode?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing about like this autism stuff is like it clearly is a spectrum, the autism spectrum, where like there are you know like. You need your Minion water, knocking down TVs at Costco level of autism, like kill your mom autism, like accidentally kill your mom, Chris Chan autism. And then there's like girls who are like, I'm so autistic, right? Like, and they are not the same. And clearly the ones on the other side need a lot more help from society. Like, you know.
I bet the French moms are not doing what I did. Wait, okay. Going back to food and just subsidies, just one second. Chloe, did you use Wick at all? Because I'm still on Wick.
I've never signed up for it.
Dude, oh my god, the Wick benefits are so ghetto.
Really?
Wick?
Yeah.
So Wick is like, it's kind of like SNAP or EBT, but it's called Women, Infant, Children. So like, you can get it when you're pregnant or your kid's up to their 5. So it gives you like some money for like produce. Uh-huh. You can get organic with it. This is like the best benefit is they can get organic produce. So like, so I give you like 50, for mine, it's like $52 for like fruits and vegetables can be organic. Milk, they're like, you can only get lactate. What? And you can only be low fat because of your weight. Like, they actually, like, they, like, weighed me and, like, took my height. And they're like, no, you actually can't have full fat milk.
What?
I felt like I was, like, my fucking family left Cuba for this. Like, it's so retarded. The way that...
Little too chunky for the...
Yeah, I was like, what, are you serious? Wow. Like, my BMI was just over. Like, okay.
Yeah,
but like they'll give you a really huge allotted allowance for baby food in jars,
mm-hmm.
and you can, but it can't be like anything that's like mixed together. Like you can't have like chicken and rice mixed together. You can, it's only purees, and it's only like, you're basically only allowed,
they give you
like
diapers too, don't they?
No, I didn't get diapers.
You
can get formula too, but like I basically was like, I lied, I shouldn't have. Oops, I lied, and I was like, I breastfeed, so because I already bought formula, because like they're not gonna cover the Kendamil, they're not gonna cover the crunchy formula that I put my daughter on, right. But like the other things about our ghetto as hell, it's just like, oh, you can only get cereal, and the cereal brands are always like Chex or like store brand Corn Flakes and like Raisin Bran, and then like that's it. And it's like, or like seasonal flavors like don't exist in like the app, and then you're not allowed to, and you can only get juice if it's like frozen in a can.
I see.
Yeah, so like I like never use all my benefits because they all suck, and like so they give like really shitty benefits, like the lowest of the low of the United States, and then they also don't have like the literacy or maybe like the Google Kung Fu to like actually know what they're like looking at. So they're just like, should I get 2 jars of peanut butter, or should I get 8 cans of beans to last me for the month?
Like, I love beans.
I love
slip off a damn can of beans.
Yeah, so but it's just like, oh, I'm gonna get 2 jars of peanut butter. Well, there's a lot of WIC fraud. I love those videos. Like, what you can do is you can return the cereal that your kids won't eat, and then you can get the real cereal. This is what I do. My baby won't eat cornflakes. No, ma'am. He only eat Captain Crunch. You know what I mean. And so I go to the Target. They gotta be a super Target. It can't be no Target. And they like return the cereal. It's like I'm in this group of like WIC fraud people. And I joined the group to be like, oh, what the fuck can I get with this? And then everyone's just like, this is how you do crimes.
Why are you always in the most ghetto Facebook group?
It's fucking ghetto as hell. Like, I this is like the number one thing about me is like, I grew up like up until I got married, I was living in Section 8 with my mom and my grandpa.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, it's like ever, and then ever people would come to my house and be like, shit. I'd be like, for real? I'm like, yeah. I'm like the one Cuban immigrant that did not come here with money. It sucks. You know, all that teaches me is that like the reason that American parenting and French parenting is so different is obviously like France invented like the ideas of like democracy and egalitarianism, but Americans really did libertarianism, and we do like libertarian parenting all the time. It's my choice. It's like, oh, I'm gonna have it my way. I'm not gonna let anything get in like to stop it.
Yeah, and that's why we create the geniuses and retards we do.
We create new types of autism. Like Chris Chan can only happen. There's no Le Chris in France.
American pride. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be patriotic about our own. Yeah, I feel like that was kind of my overall sort of take on the book, which is that a lot of the benefits that Pamela Druckerman is observing in France are the result of having a more conservative and socially homogenous culture than the US, more shared norms. Like, you know, France is more of a monoculture, and more of a European monoculture. And it is a lot more traditional than the US. And as a result, you can have, because everyone agrees pretty much on values and norms, you can have these like nice middle-class state-sponsored institutions like the daycare and school and stuff that everyone agrees on. But America is a lot less homogenous. And it's how I feel whenever people, you know, talk about how great, you know, Sweden or like all these forms of European socialist benefits are. It's like, it's not going to work. It's going to be minion water in America.
I try to explain that to my mom all the time. She'll be like, Sweden, Denmark, da-da. I'm like, right. Yeah. Do you know anything about those countries?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. You're also bringing like a bunch of people who have like completely different ideas of parenting, even like state by state.
Right.
Like you're like someone whose kid grows up in like Portland, you know, they'll come up with ex-gen. Well, I guess that's over. Right. But like,
right.
You know, they're going to come up non-binary and eat like spirulina.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's like, it's either going to be like, you know, in some red state, the daycares are going to be, you know, Cheetos, mini water. And then in some blue state, the daycares are going to be like pronoun circles for, you know, 1-year-olds. Like, it's just, there's just too much going on. I think that the reason it's like really, so, like,
I guess it's like both surprising and it makes sense that this book is popular on Reddit and like places where you have a lot of these liberal feminist moms that seem like they would disagree with a lot in this book, when it's like it's weird because it's like they can only sort of appreciate the value of like these traditions and norms if they're in another, somewhere else, like France, you know, like, because stuff like women have to lose the weight by 3 months, you know, your body is for your husband or whatever. Like, I feel like if a man here actually proposed this to some of these moms, I feel like they would like freak out and be like,
oh yeah,
like, how dare you? You know, but if you package it in this, like, clearly there's like a longing for more tradition and more norms.
Yeah, it would be an honor for the government to pay me to lose weight.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, that's amazing. That's just great.
There was a quote in the book that like made me laugh that was like about the sleep training and how it's really funny because their whole like sleep training philosophy, like what it comes down to is like, it's important for babies to sleep train and sleep independently so that moms can fuck. That's like really like the end goal. What a mother should do while her baby sleeps. This is part of the book. It's quoting a French parenting book. She forgets about her baby to think about herself. She now takes her own shower, gets dressed, puts on makeup, becomes beautiful for her own pleasure, that of her husband and of others. Evening comes. And she prepares herself for the night, for love.
That is just,
you know what? So I'm early lifing this bitch. I'm Pamela Druckerman. Okay, this is what it says. Worked for the New York Times. Let's just omit that for 1 second. The first line of their bio on Wikipedia says, Pamela Druckerman grew up in Miami, where her quote-unquote life plan elegantly combined the city's worship of bodies and money and its indifference to how you came by either. This is the whitest description of Miami I've ever heard. Instead of saying it's North Cuba.
I noticed she is obsessed with the word swarthy. Like, she loves, calls her husband swarthy, and he's like British. Like,
he's Welsh. She's like calling him all this stuff.
He's like a fake Latino or something. Like, he doesn't look swarthy at all to me, but I'm not white, so I don't know. Maybe
we're gonna find out.
She has twins, and then she calls one the swarthier one.
Her husband is not swarthy at all.
Yeah. I kind of dig Pamela now, like, now that I reread. Because I think she's, like, a little bit of, like, she's definitely a freak in her own right. Like, and because I sensed it in this book because when she's talking about neurotic American parents and she's pregnant and she's talking about how American women, the moment they become pregnant, they just start researching ways that things could go wrong. Her first question to like that she thinks of to ask WebMD is, can I swallow semen?
Oh my god, you're a little fool.
And then I like looked up other stuff and she like basically like blogged a threesome with her husband. Like, she blogged about like getting her husband a threesome for his 40th birthday or something, and like how she acquired the third, you know. So she's like, she's pretty fun. Like, I'm dig Pamela. That, right, like,
she has, actually, it's funny that she has a bunch of books about being French when she's not.
Yeah. And one of them is like bringing up bébé but for infidelity. Like, it's like comparing cheating and like cheating cultures. So I kind of like, I like the fact that she just like, she's like almost like she like remained a, like, you know how, like, Carrie Bradshaws don't exist anymore because Jezebel turned everyone into, like, a horrible, woke skull, like, blue-haired, you know, like, trans, like she's, like, Pamela Druckerman stayed, like, a Gen X, like, and I couldn't help but wonder, like, should I move to Paris? Like, kind of woman. And that's kind of cool.
This, I'm obsessed with the description of the infidelity book. I would love to take a class of her where she just goes to, like, all the cheating, like the best cheating movies, like in the Mood for Love, Lost in Translation. Like, I want to see her do all the cheating movies and just see how it feels. Or just, I want to hear her commentary being like, see, in France we wouldn't do it like that. No, see, they're secret. They don't even kiss.
Well, I think, you know, like, I feel like, you know, the French philosophy, they want to go back to work so they can like, maybe not to cheat, like the French moms, it's important to go back to the workplace because the possibility of being able to cheat is like makes your own relationship better.
She literally says that in the book, because, you know, I read the other one. I read the, like, BB Day by Day, which is more like bullet points. And one of them, she literally is like, you need to go back to work to flirt. And you don't have to cheat.
Yeah.
But you need to be flirting.
Yeah. I see her point. Like, I think that the French do have a admirable, like, they have an admirable cynicism about human nature that's like, you know, like, people do have these private desires, and it's better that we create, like, cultured outlets for them rather than just pretending they don't exist. They really understand that in order for women to want to have sex, they have to, like, feel sexy. So it's like, mm-hmm. we just, like, put all our national resources into, like, making these MILFs, like, nationalized MILF care, you know? Like, we want MILFs,
you know?
I feel like that just wouldn't work here. Like, the Protestant, like... Yeah. Which
we don't ball like that, yeah.
No,
yeah,
not doesn't. At all.
No,
but and also, well, I think like all cheating stories in America, we have like a whole, we have like a whole culture created by Gen Xers of like cheating reality shows. There was Cheaters, Maury, mm-hmm. Jerry Springer.
Yeah, we like hunt them down.
Yeah, hunt them down. This country is like pretty BPD in its own right, so it's like you can't really get away with like even mentioning that like you have, you know, like. Whenever you see someone like sort of joke about having like a work wife or whatever, mm-hmm. That's not. But yeah. Also, like, it just seems to be like the American mom wants to. Well, it's like there's like two types. It's like the like, I know I fed them donuts, but I'm doing great, mama. There's that one. And then there's the like, you know, we're rebuilding the West. I'm a Nazi, et cetera. That's like the two extremes of it. The idea that like their husband has a job that is actually away from the house is actually really repulsive to them. That they still somehow want their husband to work from home. I'm like, that's kind of gay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whenever...
My husband works from home, super gay.
No, yeah, my husband works from home. Like, and now my daughter has an attachment to her father. She's like, oh, she's a daddy's girl. I hate this shit. I can't stand it. I'm so over it.
Right, right.
I need a son that loves my big fat tit. So it's just to see if, like, it'll happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But American moms are, like, they are horned up. Like, something it's got to give because they have, like,
they love to cheat. That's true.
They're gooners. Like, they're, like, they have issues. Like, every single, like, because I, for research for, you know, this thing, like, Chloe and I looked at TikTok stuff from, like, attachment parenting and stuff. They're all reading these, like, fairy porn books, ACOTAR, and... They're like so horned up. They like all of them like really want to thirst trap men, but in a, like a, you know, this fake feminist way where it's like, I'm going to make them into my little simps or what. I don't know. There is just all this like sexual energy that is not being expressed except maybe through like these like gooner books, you know, like, yeah, so
this is that's like the American way of coping with how we're doing things. It's like you're just like your child is attached to your breast.
Yeah.
You're like pumping in a sterile room while you work and you're like jacking off to some hockey porn book.
Yeah.
And you're ending up turned on. So your husband and you's sex life is still functioning.
See, I see like the illiterate side of this. I don't think most people are illiterate, but on Facebook, when I'm on me, like, you know, my due date group and it'd always be like, moms, does this happen to anybody? So, you know, I had to go back to work and my baby's at daycare. And like, honestly, baby eyes on the picture, but there's this guy who's working at Target and I'm going to try flirting with him this week. Like, I have to see a lot of this. And it's always like,
I want to be in your group.
Go, just fucking join your due date group. Join the group that Jack was born in. And then you're going to see it's an amazing thing because, you know,
but like, you're on a Facebook one, right?
Yes, go on a Facebook group.
Okay, yeah. Just join. I think they're more ghetto.
They're so ghetto. It's incredible. And like I'm also in like the like don't vax. Even though I vaccinated my daughter like a little bit, just a little bit, not too much.
Taking the vaccine.
She only got a little bit of poison, not too much.
Anyway,
so I'm in like the anti-vax ones, like, and you have they're like these groups are crazy. They cheat all the time.
You can start utilizing
and their husbands are abusive as hell.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, it sucks. That part sucks. And they're like, I had to leave. And I'm like, oh no. It's like every day I go on this app and all I'm trying to do is like buy like used Love Every toys. And like, it's just like women getting raped. He beat me, raped me. I can't believe it. I saw him looking at, I won't say it, but you know what kind of porn.
My friend, all her Facebook ads are for, they're all for books, and they're all like, I'm a curvy single mother and I got abducted by a sexy alien. And she's not curvy, she's not single, and she's not a mother. And she's like, why do I get these ads? Like, what is it about my browsing history that
it's
is-
It's because your friend is sexy, though. That's the one word.
Okay, I'll tell her that. Definitely. Yeah, so I feel like there is like this like dark repression that is creating like a sick like mom culture where it's just like they're pumping and they're gooning and they're just like, you know, like there's something that's like very like imbalanced. So I like that the French at least, like, you know, it's not that I believe like in militant MILF status. Like, I don't, like, you know, the book talks about how they're expected to lose the weight by 3 months. That's so early. That's like I was barely conscious by 3 months.
Yeah, that's not happening.
That did happen for me, but I don't know. I mean, I like gained 50 pounds with Jack, and I feel like I lost all but 10 within.
I lost 20 pounds.
I had no appetite. Yeah.
I got back around like 6 months. That's when I got back to my pre-baby weight. But
I'm pissed because I like worked out all last year trying to lose. I think my first appointment with Jack, I was like 147, and I know I had gained like 5 pounds immediately because I could bloat really fast from like hormones, but they didn't have that weight on record. But so I went in the other day for my first appointment and I was like exactly the same. And I was like, what was the point? I worked all year to end up exactly the same, like to the teeth. I am going to do the French advice though of like paying attention. It was like, they call it paying attention. They just like weigh themselves every day. And I was like, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people here like turn everything into like, oh, that's an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Like if you weigh yourself, that's an eating disorder. Right. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm stupid and I will just like assume I'm roughly the same weight. But if I'm not paying attention, it'll just like sneak up on me. So yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to gain less weight this pregnancy if I actually just do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the hard part is when you're nauseous, you kind of need to eat continuously to be nauseous. And it's like,
I've eaten twice since we started.
Yeah, like to just stave off the nausea. But
the only food I could eat when I was nauseous and pregnant, I never vomited when I was pregnant except for once while playing Mario Kart with Alex, and he said Daisy had autism. I don't know why I lost this. I started vomiting from laughing. But the only food I ate was like pig ear tacos. I used to eat a bunch of oreja.
Like, really specific.
Over and over. Yeah, I craved spicy like hot sauce for the first time in my life. Like, I was just like, we need to buy like intricate hot sauces. And for some reason that wasn't a clue to me that I was pregnant.
I didn't even have cravings. I feel like I just didn't enjoy food. It sucks when you cook, because if you're the one responsible for cooking and you don't want to look at food or touch food, it just is miserable. So
I'm just giving up for the next 2 months. No. We're gonna be functioning
yeast resistant,
low level.
Definitely. Yeah. I just made Daniel get takeout all the time. But that's another thing like about this book that I was like, because, you know, she's like, oh, the French woman enjoy pregnancy. It is a time to be a woman to the fullest. Ooh la la. You know, it's not that I thought pregnancy was uniquely miserable, but I felt so like nauseous and out of it that I don't you know, there wasn't,
I did not have a fun physical experience. I mean, I don't know, maybe if I keep up my weight more, and maybe if I like, I did try, I feel like last time I was just like depressed in my first trimester too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like giving in, because you have the like the weird, it's not even like a craving, it's like you're just, for me at least, I was trying to think of like any food that would just, that I could think of for 2 seconds without getting nauseous, so I could eat. So I would stop being nauseous for a second. Okay. But then that food would make me nauseous. So I was just eating like chaos.
Right.
And this time I'm trying to be like a little more tactical about it. Like, I'm going to eat oranges because oranges are supposed to help. Or like, I'm going to get peppermints because peppermints, like actually trying. But I don't think I'm going to have one of those like, I just love being pregnant. I love my little
loving.
Yeah, I couldn't make myself like, I don't know, I hate saying this, like, I didn't, like, talk to my daughter as much while she was in the womb. Like, I didn't, like, people were like, you should read books to her, and I was like,
I didn't either.
No, I just was like,
Well, my logic
is coming out. I will say, I was never as more beautiful in my life as I was in my second trimester. I felt like I was on Vyvanse and Adderall. I didn't really need coffee. I don't know what my daughter gave up part of her heart for me to feel like I was on Adderall. I promise. Like, I think that's what happened. And I was doing so much. I had a work from home job and I was killing it. I was working for like, what's his name? The guy from Oakland, Berkshire Hathaway. And I was doing all this stuff. I was doing the most. I was like writing articles. I had gestational diabetes. So all I was eating was like raw meat and vegetables.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe you were like keto lifing.
I was. And as soon as like it hit like 14 weeks, I was just like, there's no more nausea. And I could think really clearly. And I was walking everywhere. It was hot as balls too. It was like going on the subway. It was just, I was at the peak health. I was just. And I lost 15 pounds and I was like just the happiest I'd ever been in the second trimester. My third trimester gave me, I think like, chronic pain that I still have to this day. Like that no doctor, yeah. I wanted to go get a colonoscopy and they haven't figured it out. And I'm just like, so this is going to like, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how
it's a roller coaster.
This doesn't happen in France. They don't get pain.
Well, I think they just don't. They don't tell anyone. They confess it to their priests or, you know, like they're like.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They're still Catholic though. So they're kind of like, they're like, they don't lead moral lives, but they do go to confession. And I think that's true. That's just how it is.
Well, I was wondering, maybe you can explain that, Cindy, because.
What? When you go to confession?
No.
Oh, because I have a funny story about that. My fucking mother-in-law's best friend Shirley, they're all like Southern Baptists in like North Carolina, that she asked me, do you really talk to a little guy in a box and tell him your sins? I was like, yeah,
he's normal size.
I know. I was like, he's tiny, he's a tiny little man, he's a little tiny little man, a little collar, he rapes. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I do talk to a guy in a box. Lucy, do you want to say hi?
Lucy,
what was your question?
Oh, well, I want to see Lucy now.
Hey, Lucy! Oh my gosh! Oh, she's so chunky and cuddly and cute.
Huh? Oh my god!
She can't hear you guys, so she's kind of like,
"This is just saying, hey, hi, baby." I love her bang hairline.
I know she's like a Norwood too right now. I can't wait for her to grow it out. She needs to be sissy hypnoed into growing more hair. What was your question about confession?
I forgot. Oh, yeah. How Catholic is France now?
Probably, like, in name only, but, like, if you're, like, a diehard, like, you really are.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, part of their national heritage is that their cathedrals are beautiful. Like, not just Notre Dame, like, Sacré-Cœur and,
of course,
there's a bunch of other ones. Beautiful. I mean, like, they...
Well, because the French are, like, very committed to secular institutions, separation of church and state, civil religion. They ban any kind of religious teachings in schools to the point where a Waldorf school, actually, which I'm a big fan of, is actually really restricted in France and not popular because the government really strictly regulates it because it is spiritual and religious in nature. So I think, like, that's also kind of, like, why, like, France is this sort of like fascinating bizarro world for like Reddit moms is because it has the trappings of like these left-wing things like atheism and socialism, but they are getting to atheism and socialism from a way more conservative and religious position than the United States.
Yeah, for like, them it's like the ultimate le walkable city.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they want. They want to pass by a cathedral because it's pretty, but they don't want to go inside it.
And like a basically all Catholic country coming up with secular institutions is different than like Le Reddit Fedora atheism, right? Like they have a very different texture and it's like not the same thing. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's interesting because it is like there are a lot of contradictions. Like it was kind of hard for me to like understand what was going on in France and like even the nature of French parenting, because like all of it seems really like, you know, like self contradicting in its own way. Like we're socialist, but we're also more conservative
socially conservative. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's like, there's a reason, I guess, why it's fascinating, is because it is kind of like a bizarro world. It's like a, it's like, there is like a connection and a similarity with the US, but it's also like inverted, I guess.
Yeah, I get the appeal, but when I like take a step back and think about my actual personality and like how I was raised, I feel like I wouldn't actually function well. Besides, I do think it would be nice to live in a walkable city. I mean, I live in bumfuck, so I do miss, like, I went to school in Wilmington, and it's obviously a little bit more
walkable.
Did you ever go to the Blue Velvet Bar?
No, I did not even know that it was filmed there until when he died, which is shameful because Eddie is such a Lynch guy, and we watched it together. Like, I never watched any of his stuff. I wasn't like a film person at all, and he just never mentioned that. You've been to Wilmington.
You need a man to introduce those films to, because honestly, like, if a guy like, it takes like one guy who's like kind of older than you and skeevy to like put you onto it, and then you're like, oh, it's my thing now.
Yeah, Eddie's my little film. For me. My film husband.
Pervert husband.
Yeah.
Pervert.
I literally texted him last week, and I was like, you didn't mention, we could have like gone by the places. Like, we've been to Wilmington, I think, 3 times probably since then. Never mentioned it.
I need to go to the bathroom and vomit. So maybe we should
wrap up anyways.
Yeah, so what
last thought?
Best part was don't be fat.
Don't be fat.
That's my favorite part.
Like,
and
it's true. And like, also that part is kind of crazy because like, I feel like since 2012, when this book was published, there has been a fat positive cabal in the literary world. Like,
yeah,
this is just based on like
the covers of the books. They're all chubby.
Yeah, well, also, like the censorship, like the Roald Dahl republishing, like the new edition, they censor some like little like song about a woman who was fat. And then I was listening to that Red Scare episode where they interviewed that writer, I think Bruce Wagner is his name, but he wrote a story about a fat positive blogger, and his book got like canceled because he wasn't fat. Like, it's not even, you can't like disparage fat people. It's like, if you are writing about a fat person and you're not fat, you can't do that. Like,
you need to gain weight.
You need to be fat. Like, you need to, like, so it is kind of, like, shocking to read this because it's, like, wow, like.
It's so the opposite of what we're
yeah.
told.
But, I mean, I do feel like it's, like, you know, like, there is just, like, the gooner culture is tied to the fat positivity. It's, like.
Yeah.
Put that gooning effort into losing the weight and then
into yourself.
You know what? Yeah. Once these women found out there were a porn category, it like completely changed their mind. Like, once they found out what like BBW means, they were like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
They masturbate to
I literally, to little on me. Multiple occasions, have tried to do those books, and
I've tried to watch that porn.
I try. Okay. So two of my friends from Wilmington are into the like weird, like that type of romance stuff. One of them's more into just like actual like romance, but like set in fairy world. But the other one will just read like, this vampire alien with 6 dicks is in love with me. And so when I was pregnant, I tried to read one, and the series is called like, it's like Barbarian Ice. Ice barbarian. It's like aliens that are barbarians on an icy planet, and it is just, I am like, holy shit, dude, that there is something wrong with us. Like, we
I'm saying this as like, I think of myself as like a higher plane of woman for saying this. I have never enjoyed high fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not for me.
Whenever a girl's like, I loved Lord of the Rings, I'm like, that's not.
What's weird is that every book for women now is high fantasy, but it's not any actual innovative high fantasy where they do like the world building that much. Like, it's just kind of like the standard high fantasy backdrop that they all use, and then they just write the same kind of like, I went to school and I was so weak and everyone else is so strong and I'm so awkward, and then I got the biggest dragon. Yeah. Like, it's just very,
I got fucked by the biggest dragon.
Yeah.
And he fucked me.
This is also, everyone's also writing as the point of view of the dragon from Shrek. Like, they're like, I'm a big, sexy dragon mama. And I'm my husband's tiny little Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess my positive thoughts wrapped up about this book is that I do like the idea that you don't have to actually participate in this culture of negativity surrounding motherhood. It's a lot of it is fake and gay. And I do like the French ethos of, like, ultimately you're responsible for your own happiness. You know, like, if you want a beautiful life where, like, you know, like, you are a sexy modern woman. Like, you have to work for that and you can do it. Like, you know. And I do think the French government is cool for realizing that, like, what makes women happy is grocery shopping for fresh vegetables, like, once a day at the farmer's market.
That's so true. God.
And, you know, being skinny and hot. Like, I think that they really understand.
They really nailed me with that.
Nailed, like, all those things, like, can't argue with that, right? Although
doesn't Welbeck hate his mom?
Yeah, I think he does, because his mom was like, or at least in Elementary Particles, which I think was based on his life, mom was like some sort of like hippie who like ran off and went to some sort of like orgy commune, and he like saw her like bare pussy, like like the day after.
Like, I suspect there are a good deal of neuroses coming from those parents.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's like they are adult neuroses, whereas like I feel like Americans are like
perma babies.
Yeah, perma baby neuroses.
But also, French people are so proud of their neuroses that they like name them after their last names, like
right,
like sadism. Yeah.
Also, like
Jean-Picard syndrome.
Yeah.
After like skimming this book again, I was like, okay, like, all these superior functions of, you know, like the way French parenting is better. And then I looked up I was like, maybe that shows in their birth rates, right?
Yeah.
And they basically have like the exact same birth rate as US. US is a little higher, but we have more diverse of population. Although France has a sizable immigrant population that raises their birth rate. The like Algerian Muslims or whatever be having like, you know, 8 kids or something. So it's like, are they really doing better than us? You know, if it's just like a wash, like, is all of this like, cause like you're giving like the women there, like, get all this great shit, you know, they get their girl jobs, they get their farmer's markets, they look sexy, but like, you know, we're still outbreeding them or like same.
I guarantee my boobs are definitely saggier. They have the best in me there.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also bet that my son is a little bit more vitalistic and like hardy too.
Yeah. We like, you know, we're pioneers. We just like throw them into the world. And
my daughter's been built by the urban jungle. She's been built by diversity, equity, and inclusion every step of the way, right? I mean, she's built by the metropolis.
Yes. Yeah. Unbreakable. Yeah.
You know, I think for our next episode, okay, this is just something I just want to throw out there because I will forget it. Like, when you meet another mom who's like the polar opposite of you. So, like, just for context, like, I met my like husband's cousin's wife, and like, ever so often I will like look at her Pinterest and she will like make like a Laura, she will say like a Laura Ingalls Wilder post and being like, this is why my kids are happier, healthier, and better than yours, because, you know, they grew up free range, they never had a vaccine, they never did this, they never did that. And when I actually met this woman, she was so scared and so like, she looked so mad at her kid. And I was like, was it fucking worth it? Like, don't have
a... Yeah, they're like a little neurotic, a lot of them. A lot of the crunchy, like, or like wannabe crunchy people, I feel like, are very neurotic.
Yeah. And I just was just like, chill the fuck out. Like, you couldn't survive. Like, you couldn't survive a lot of things, actually. Like, you're lucky you were born today and not during Manifest Destiny. You would have not survived the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, well, I think anyone who places too much of their identity in their mom choices is gonna be a little crazy. I don't care about this shit, you know? They're just, like ultimately, like, I don't think about things that much, you know? Like,
yeah, the only thing you should be thinking about is like if it's easy to do and it like solves the problem in the moment really quickly. I can't wait for my second kid so I could be like, I'm not going to think as hard about this. Like, so what if your poop is that color? Is it really so bad?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Cause like, you're unfazed by anything. And you're like, this kid, like nothing, like first I'm like, kid's gonna die. Every second, like kid's gonna die. Second one is like, kid's not gonna die.
Yeah. You know, that or there should be a whole episode on like car seat moms.
Wait, what was your first idea? Like, just like this woman you didn't like? Like,
no. It was just basically like when you like look at
bitch.
When you like really meet someone who like when you meet a mom who's just antithetical to whatever the fuck you're doing, or how that felt the first time. Like, I don't know. Or like that like early premonition of like.